and welcome back to another episode of 10-4. My name is Brian Keller, and this is episode 4, No More Parallel Development Pain. So parallel development is a concept that allows multiple software developers to work concurrently, so at the same time, on one or more releases of a piece of software. Team Foundation Server 2005 and Team Foundation Server 2008 provided a lot of great capabilities to help a software development team achieve parallel development. It provides branching for isolation so that people can go off and work on an individual branch and be isolated from changes that happen within the rest of the source control tree. It also provides merging for bringing those capabilities back together. Workspaces basically provide private local branches for people to work in. It provides shared checkout capabilities so that more than one person could check out the same file and be working on different parts of the same file at the same time if they wanted to. And then lastly, provides promotion modeling as well, so that when you're merging between branches, you don't have to take an all-or-nothing approach. You can cherry-pick the individual change sets that you want to move forward to another branch. But despite all these capabilities that exist in Team Foundation Server already, there are a number of challenges that kind of supersede the underlying infrastructure of branching and merging and can make it more difficult for an individual team to understand what's going on. So questions like, you know, what is a particular branch for? Why was this branch created? How does it relate to other branches that exist within a system? Or who's in charge of a given branch? Other questions that might come up include things like, you know, this particular change that I made in one branch, was it effectively merged to other branches that exist in the system? Or, you know, maybe made a bug fix in one particular branch, and you want to try to determine if that bug fix made it out to a customer that you released software to yesterday, or if that bug still exists in the system. So the good news is that all of these questions are things that we're thinking about and that we are trying to address with the next release of Team Foundation Server, Team Foundation Server 2010. So I'd like to show you a demo today of how we're addressing these problems. Now for this demo, I'm going to be using the same virtual PC image that we downloaded in the first episode of 10.4, so you can follow along at home with me if you'd like. We'll go ahead and open up the Source Control Explorer, and from here you'll see right away that certain branches, or certain folders rather, have different icons, and so the ones with the special icon represents a branch. And so if we take a look at this delivery branch here, we can open it up and look at the properties, and branches are now what we call first-class citizens. So a branch can have a description, so this is something that you can share with the rest of the team to help them understand more about what an individual branch might be used for. You'll notice this owner property, and so that can be somebody that I might go to ask questions about a branch. You'll also see this relationships view as well, so this can start to give me an understanding of how this particular branch relates to other branches in the system, and I can see that delivery is a child of the main branch. Likewise, there's a number of access control list properties that you can set as well, so you can control who has access to merge changes in and out of this branch, for example. The other thing we can do is we can take a look at this branch in a visualization, so let's take a look at the hierarchy. And this hierarchy view gives us a number of different ways to understand, again, how this branch relates to other branches in the system. So here I'm looking at the branch, the target branch, and all of its ancestors and children. So ancestors is the parents, the grandparents, and so on. And here we can look at all the branches that exist in the system. And so this branch view can start to become unwieldy. So you can see I can come in here and remove certain branches from this view. So now it's starting to be a little bit more manageable in terms of understanding how delivery relates to these other branches. And the other thing I can do is I can actually create a branch straight from here. So this is the new branch creation dialog. For my demo, I'm just going to create a new feature branch, and this feature branch is where I'll make some changes. Maybe I want to isolate a particular feature that's under development and then merge it back into the rest of the branches later. So I'll give my branch a description. and we'll say branch. Now, in the past, this would have presented you with another step you had to do, which is to take the changes that were in your pending changes and check those into Team Foundation Server. Now, what we've done in Team Foundation Server 2010 is we've made this a much faster operation. It's actually just creating that branch on the server, so you don't have to check out all that code and then check it in order to create the branch. And for large branches, especially like the branches that we use for our internal dogfooding of Team Foundation Server, this can save you a lot of time. So if I just refresh this diagram, you can now see that this feature branch is in the hierarchy. So we can open up this this branch in Source Control Explorer. We do have to go ahead and manually refresh at this point. And after we refresh, we'll see that that branch exists in the system. So now that we have this feature branch, let's go ahead and make a change. So we'll pretend that we're implementing our feature here. So we'll just open up an arbitrary folder here, and we'll take a look at a C# file, open that up, and for the purposes of this demo, I'm not actually making implementing a feature. I just want to show the way that changes within a system can be represented within the branch visualization capabilities. So since it doesn't really matter what change I make, I'll just make a comment to the first line of this file. And we'll go ahead and save this file. And remember, we do have to check this in because it's currently only saved in our local workspace. So we'll open up our pending changes dialog. Give it a check in comment, and we'll check that in. So now that change is made, I can open up the history, and we can see all the change sets that have been checked into this particular branch. So this is our change set view, and it will show us that this change set 40 is a change that I just made. So there's my comment. We can open this up, and we can see that, yes, there's the C# file that I changed. But I want to understand more about this particular change set and how it will get merged and find its way into the rest of my branch hierarchy. So this is a new view. This is a change set view that allows us to select which branches we're interested in, first of all. So we'll take delivery, the feature branch and its parent, as well as the main branch. And we'll just visualize that relationship. And what you'll see first is a history view that shows where this particular change set was introduced and any branches that it was merged into. So you can see that it was introduced in the feature branch and that it has not yet been merged into delivery or into main. We can also see this similar view in a parent-child relationship. And so now what I can do is I can click and drag that change set over to the delivery branch. And so here it's automatically prompted me to go through the merge wizard. We can either merge that individual change set or the latest version. Since I only have one change set, it's going to be identical. And we'll go through the merge operation. And so what this is doing is it's taking the change set from my original change introduced, and then it will create a new change set after we check this in. Now, I want to point out that if you simply rerun the visualization at this point, you won't see any changes. So you can see that it's still the same. And that's because I haven't actually checked my changes in. So we'll go back to the pending changes, and we'll just indicate that we're merging my feature forward into the delivery branch. And we'll check that in. And what that does is that will create a new change set, and it should create change set number 41. And what we'll see here if we refresh the diagram is that that change has now been merged forward to delivery. And so that's really nice. Now I can see where my change has gone through the system. Now I can do the same thing. I can take change set number 41 and merge that forward into main. Now in the CTP, there's a bug in that it won't automatically populate the right target branch when you're going an extra level deep like that. So you do have to manually change that over. But here we can just go through the same operation. It's, again, merging that change first into my local workspace, and then I can go into my pending changes and check that in. And once that's done, I can refresh my diagram. And so this becomes just a really nice way to work and a very quick and simple way to indicate that now my original change that I made to that feature branch has now found its way throughout the entire branch hierarchy that I'm interested in. Another thing that we can do is open this up in Source Control Explorer and take a look at that individual file that I changed. And you may be familiar with a feature that shipped as a power toy and then within Team Foundation Server 2008 called Annotate. So Annotate gives me a line-by-line view of what changes happened in my system. Now in the past, Annotate would have not been able to tell me where the original change was made. It would have just said that it was changed as part of a merge operation. So anytime you did a merge, that history would have been obfuscated by Annotate. But now Annotate recognizes that, hey, yes, that change was merged, but really the root cause of that change is the fact that it was carried forth from a change that was made to that feature branch. And so that can be incredibly helpful. Now I not only know where that change was made, but I know who made it. So if I need to go ask that developer a question, I can do so. Now, one last demonstration I want to show you here is how the new merge resolution experience works. And so for this demo, I'm just going to simulate a change that might be conflicting. So I'll make one change in one file under one workspace, and I'll make another change to the same line in another workspace. And so that would be simulating what would happen if two users working on the same file at the same time made conflicting changes, because Team Foundation Server can make a lot of automatic merges, but if you change the same line of the same file, then it doesn't know how to treat that. And so what happens is in Team Foundation Server 2005 and 2008, you get a modal dialog that asks you what you want to do in terms of resolving those changes. But in Team Foundation Server 2010, what we've done is we've changed that dialog and invested in it significantly so that it's no longer modal, and it gives you a lot more information to help you make that change. So now when I perform my check-in, it's going to tell me that there's conflicting changes, and there's a new tab that tells me all of the conflicts that exist. And so now if I take a look at this, it's non-modal, and it also gives me a lot more information about what particular conflicts exist. If there were more conflicts, I would see a list here. And because it's non-modal, I can also take the time to explore other visualizations or browse through the rest of the system or open up work items or do whatever I need really to get more information about what changes I want to accept or make any changes to those changes as they're coming in. So that just shows you a few of the capabilities of the merge resolution dialog in Team Foundation Server 2010. So to recap, today we showed you how Team Foundation Server 2010 will help you eliminate parallel development pain. Here is a list of some other resources that you might find helpful. We have a lot of branching guidance that you can use today with Team Foundation Server. This helps you think about how you plan your branch structure and when to merge and when some patterns and some anti-patterns that you may want to adopt. You should also take a look at Matthew Mitrick's video that I filmed an interview with him. And Matthew Mitrick is the program manager for the branch visualization, so he goes into some more detail behind some of these features. And of course, a link to where to download the Community Technology Preview VPC that I showed you how to grab in the first episode of 10.4. So if you wanted to sort of follow along at home and play some more with these features, then you can certainly do that. Matt also wanted me to point out that these features are getting a facelift for Beta 1. So when we ship the beta here in a few months, then you'll get to see a lot of changes and improvements that we hope you'll enjoy. And also be sure to check out the rest of our 10.4 episodes. We publish right here every Wednesday on Channel 9. And if you have any questions or feedback, feel free to leave them in the forums or shoot us an email. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next week. Drew Robbins next week is going to be showing off the new Coda editor of Visual Studio 2010. There are a lot of new capabilities in there to really give you a code-focused rad experience when writing software. So until then, have a great week.